You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan. Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future. Assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. This week we talk about music games. Not music in games, you know, rhythm games. The kinds of plastic instruments and whatnot. And fulfilling fan requests, we also connected to a Famicom game. I know, right? In Future Retro, we found out the real reason I got a PS4. And Vink piles on the shame from the GameCube days. Yes, we were born to play all these video games.
Hey, Chandra.
Hey, Vinkle. God.
Oh, man.
You know, when we say something isn't going to happen.
Oh, come on. You know, as much as we can pretend. I mean, it was about the same thing as saying, like, man, I hope no one sends me a bunch of money, you know?
Yeah, or like how
that'd
you tweeted,
be awkward.
You tweeted Lewis and was like, hey, don't listen to this podcast about you.
Yep. Because if you do, you might do something that we really don't want you to do. And then when you did it, we went, wow, I hope you don't do the same for Sean.
That would be terrible.
That would be terrible. And oh, man.
Methink the ladies doth protest too much. Wait, isn't doth a singular you? I don't know. Anyway, the point being.
Yes.
Good job, Lewis.
Yes, that was excellent. That was excellent. And that doesn't mean other people can't take a crack at it.
Right. What are you doing?
Yeah, you're right. You know, at least with Lewis, we knew that
it would be tasteful.
At least tasteful. Yeah, that's true. It could have been a lot worse. It
could still be a lot worse. I mean, we have people threatening to cosplay as these now.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that. Wink.
I think you're playing too much Mass Effect. You're talking like an Elcor now.
Oh, yes.
Heavy sarcasm. Do not do that.
By the way, now when you're selling Mass Effect to me, you're like,
yes,
you know, it's a space RPG and it's got some shooter parts, but you know what? I think this is a shooter with some RPG parts.
That could be.
The old bait and switch just happened here.
Listen, it's wonderful. And the shooty bits are just a slight inconvenience to the story.
I see. So it's a means to an end then. So
I think so.
Like your lies to me were to get me hooked on the story, so I would have no choice but to say this thing that is primarily shooty bits.
Yes.
I see. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
I understand you. You're corrupting me, Sean.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I figured with the whole Splatoon thing, this would be my chance to finally push this.
Listen, I mean, it's bad enough. I mean, like, you got me the trilogy. Thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. But then afterwards, there's like, okay, and it has some DLC, but doesn't have all the DLC. So
quite a lot of it, though. You saved quite a bit of money.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. For the first two games, almost all of it. But then there's that third game. And by the way, DLC is weird. Because like the Wii version, which we've been criticizing for, the Wii U version, which we've been criticizing for a while, actually contains some of the DLC that the trilogy doesn't. Not enough to make it like that would have been a good deal, but still, it's very confusing what was included in this trilogy and what wasn't, you know?
Yes, yes.
But anyway, this is how you've corrupted me. I have bought DLC for a shooter.
And I helped.
You know, I've bought DLC. Oh, man. Like, these are two things I don't like. This is the culmination of things I don't like.
You got it on PS3, too, which is just, ugh.
Yeah. Man. Oh. Just. But you know what? We'll see. We'll see. I might be thanking you later.
Might.
I'll thank you for the game right now, but
sure. You know, I mean, if you don't like it, you can just always sell the DLC later.
Mm. Yeah, right? Right? that's on my permanent record now.
It's worth noting that you only bought it because it was on sale.
True. True. Yeah. It was 70% off. And so
that's a lot, man.
So I guess it's only 30% shameful.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
So we're doing the pile of shame early, is what you're telling me.
My pile. It's nothing but shame. All right, let's talk about something happier.
Okay, sure. What, like,
there is
Dragon no Age? Happens. Gathering Herbs?
I was thinking we'd talk about something I've always thought was such an important part of games.
Sure.
Music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I love game music. You know, I really think that the Famicom really helped launch it off from, you know, before the bleeps and bloops of PC speakers and Atari and that kind of thing, you know? Yeah. Great topic. I think we can really run with this.
Nope, I don't think we have. I don't think we know nearly enough. I think we need to get an expert on for that.
Oh.
I think we should talk about something that we can handle a little bit better.
Okay.
Let's talk about pretending to make music with small plastic instruments.
Okay, I am much better at that. So I've been told. If you like the podcast or videos and just want to help out, well, there's a way you can do that. Just sponsor an episode of the Famicom Dojo video game podcast by going to littlepodcast.com, finding the Famicom Dojo logo, and clicking on the sponsor button. We would like to thank you for your generous contribution, so leave us a message that we can read on the show about you, or just drop us a line on why you like the podcast and videos, and then share this podcast with all your friends and brag to them about how you paid us to be nice to you, or something.
Do you play a real instrument? I know I've seen a guitar in your house, but I don't know. That doesn't mean anything. I have a bass guitar myself, and
sure. I think everyone has a bass guitar.
There's a point in your life when you're like, you know what? I think I need one of these.
Yes, I purchased once upon a time a few guitars, well before a certain popular game. You know, I was a single young guy, out of college making some cash, and I had money to spend.
A single young guy?
Stay
that way.
What a fool I was. No, you don't buy a guitar and expect to stay single. Obviously.
No, but I don't know. I went the other way. I thought perhaps if I learned enough magic tricks,
that's a thing you could do.
It would offset the fact that the other magic that was part of my life was a card game.
Right.
Anyway.
So
plastic instruments. Now I have a confession to make. I have never played Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Well, I have played many of those.
They just Guitar Hero got released here in Japan, but it never really took off. I saw it when it came out, and I don't even see it used, so it must have gotten a really limited print run. And I don't think Rock Band ever came to Japan. So,
oh dear.
Which is funny because most American rock bands do come to Japan.
Right. I was just going to say, you know, I'm surprised by that, but then I realized, you know, there's a lot of music that's specific to the U.S.
Yeah, I suppose so. Although, okay, well, we'll go back to the Japanese roots in a bit, but tell me about your experience with expensive plastic instruments.
Well, I mean, I've mentioned it many times before, so I don't want to rehash too much. But my first experience was with Samba de Amigo and the plastic maracas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you do.
Naturally. I mean, it was made by Sega, which is pretty cool. And it had a lot of Sega properties for the music, including like some Sonic games I had heard of but never played.
They have the music from Burning Rangers in there.
Yeah, right?
Hold on. So that was your first music game?
With like separate instruments.
Oh, with peripherals. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I'd say it was mine too. In fact, in the United States, that was probably one of the very early ones. I mean, that was a game, you know. Okay.
I mean, I should mention too, this was for the Dreamcast, for those who don't know.
Yes.
Specifically.
Well, actually, it was for the arcade first.
Okay, fair enough. And when I went to Japan, I did play it in the arcade, and man, was that a different experience.
They're so heavy.
They're so heavy.
Really, really heavy. So you get tired real quick, which is probably the point of an arcade game. So
right, yeah. Well, or you get real buff by doing it all the time.
Yeah, but no, that's very cool. Did you ever use any third-party maraca controllers?
Yes, they're terrible.
Terrible, yes.
They don't work as well. It's like, so this works with ultrasound, which is the same technology that the Power Glove works with. So you can imagine.
Yay!
I mean, when these sets are really new, they work very, very well. But something happens to them, and I don't know if it's like the constant shaking or what, but eventually they just stop working as well. And we've never been able to find a way to repair a set that starts to go south. So the best way to keep your maracas safe is to essentially not play the game. Totally intuitive.
I think had the game sold better, I bet someone would have made a guide for how to repair them, but like they're such an anomaly right now as it is, I'm guessing no one's taken the effort. Which is unfortunate because Samba's fantastic.
It is.
You know, you can use those controllers for two other games.
Can I?
There's another rhythm game, a music game, made by SNK called Cool Cool Tune that has maraca controller support.
Oh.
And I believe the other title is, I'm sure I'm getting this wrong, but I think it's Mr. Driller, actually, by
name. What?
Yeah, I hope I'm not wrong there. I might be wrong there, but...
Okay.
But no, it's something that it doesn't seem like something that would have, you know, any use for maraca controllers.
Okay.
But, and of course, you can use them for Samba 2000, which...
Right. Import only in America.
It's so bad because it is the better of the... I mean, they're both good, but it's definitely the better title. And it never came out in the States. But it's incredibly import friendly, though.
Yeah, it just requires a boot disc.
Or Japanese Dreamcast.
Yeah, there's that too. But the boot disc was pretty easy to use.
Yeah.
And it came in very handy when I needed to import Shenmue 2 later from Europe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
$200, worth it.
You paid $200?
No, sorry. I'm looking. There's the maracas controller on eBay, is it, or is this Amazon? $200 for one set.
I can probably get you them for about $40.
Yeah.
But, the shipping.
Though. Last time I was there, I bought a set because it was cheap, and you know, it was cheap enough that like even if it didn't work well, it wouldn't be too much of a waste of money.
And
the way it works too, because whatever happens to these things, it happens in the maraca itself because you can switch them between the different bases and that maraca still won't work great. So still never figured out what mechanism was failing in that, but
maybe
so
like
I can
just like the springs
Oh, that could be.
It's like, because like the detect the motion, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe they just get worn out, you know, the spring only stays springy for so long, you know.
That kind of makes sense. And the reason that this becomes a problem is because if you play this long enough, then you find the super hard mode, and you can only play that after a while because everything else becomes too slow. Like the distance between hard and super hard is like more than between hard and medium.
Yeah,
I think so. But that comes to a point, especially because you got like all do all these doubles and like cross your body to get it to work, and it's at those moments that the controllers don't work as well, and then you start missing, and then it becomes less fun.
Yeah. Now you like so the samba. Good. You like the kind of the samba system, right?
I do.
Like, if for people who don't know, it's basically these little balls come from the center, and they hit one of six different zones, right?
Yep. Like middle, left and right, top, left and right, and bottom, yep. Left and right, in a hexagon and, shape.
Yes, and you need to shake the maraca when the circle hits the like outside ring. Well, interestingly enough, Sega after this, and they started when they first started going third party, one of the first titles they released was a version using this system for the PlayStation.
Ah, I think I know where you're going with this.
Okay, you know where I'm going with this?
I own it.
Oh, do you? I didn't know you had a set.
Yeah, when I was in, was it 2007, I want to say? When I was there for the first Tokyo Game Show, I believe, I bought a set.
Okay. Did you keep the box or did you have to jettison that?
I have the whole thing.
Oh, cool. This game is called Mini Moni Shaka de Tambourine, and basically it uses a simplified... It was made for kids, so it uses a simplified system which only has one controller, one tambourine. But the same thing, as soon as the ball hits that thing, you shake the tambourine. And this was also an arcade machine first.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
The graphics are a huge downgrade, unfortunately, just because, you know... By that time, the PlayStation 2 was already out, but, you know, they decided that this game was to try to reach, you know, kids, basically, who didn't have the new shiny thing. They were using the, you know, PlayStation 1. But it's a cool game if you can get past the fact that the entirety of the soundtrack is songs by Mini Moni, which Mini Moni is a subgroup of Morning Musume, which was a huge idol group about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. When I was first in Japan, they were huge, just absolutely huge everywhere. In the same way that AKB is the group now. And Morning Musume is still around, but like they're
all in their 30s now and no one cares. No, wait.
No, they're constantly being replaced.
Sure.
Just like, yeah, they're
just like Menudo.
No one who was in Mini Moni is still a member of Morning Musume, but
right.
I have no idea who are members anymore. And I'm a little ashamed to say that 10 years ago, though, I did.
Mm.
But anyway, then I got married and
somehow
moved, somehow,
all this,
despite owning that game. That was during the great video game purge of trying to reorganize my life before deciding that I was pretty cool as it was. Anyway, so that game is very cool, and it just brings up like how many different types of games can be played with kind of weird controllers. The real downside of them is a lot of these peripherals only work with like one game.
It's true.
And it just means a lot of extra stuff. So to tell you the truth, I'm surprised that these games were popular in Japan in the first place.
Right? And yep.
Right and yep. Okay, good.
You know, having had a base in this, I was ready when in 2005 a similar craze hit America.
Okay.
You know what that was?
The Backstreet Boys?
Guitar Hero, dude. Oh, my gosh. No. Yes, Guitar Hero first came out. And I happen to have a PS2 because I had bought one just the year before. So yes, I was able to dive in.
Yes, because America invented guitar games.
Listen. It wasn't until the next year. See, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
But yeah, if anyone walked into a Best Buy in 2005, you could not help but see a Guitar Hero display front and center, and everyone had to try it, and they thought it was so cool. Yep. But you know what? I thought it was a bit of a step down from my favorite Harmonix games, Frequency and Amplitude.
Ah.
Yeah.
Now, I have played those. Well, just not Amplitude. I played, which is the first one?
Frequency is the first one.
Yeah. Okay, I played that one.
Yeah. I mean, unlike Guitar Hero, which, by the way, we should probably mention that Harmonix made the first two installments in that series. Very important later on.
Yeah.
But this is how I first learned about them, because around the time that we were doing the Samba thing, you know, aforementioned friend and friend of the show, Ben, who also introduced us to Viv Ribbon.
Yes.
You know, was the first one to import Samba 2000, I believe, and then would play Frequency when it came out for PS2, and that got me hooked. And basically, not peripheral game like we were saying, but interestingly enough, Samba came to play with the controller, but there's basically no point, in my opinion. But then Harmonix releases this Rock Band thing, and I'm like, well, of course it's got to be good. And then I was not disappointed, as I'm sure lots and lots of people were not. But there was another game that was contemporary with this. Do you know what that is?
Another game that was contemporary with
this? Yes. It used a peripheral, but it wasn't as specialized.
Was it... It wasn't by Konami, was it?
Yes, it was by Konami.
Oh, is it Beatmania?
Ah, ooh, that's good. No, not thinking of that. God, you know, I'm thinking like this Beatmania, this Papa Music. Oh, there's all this stuff. No.
Yeah, those aren't really instruments, though.
No, but they were specialized.
Beatmania was, that idea was taken later again. That idea was not original either. Are you referring to the original title?
Oh, not yet. Well, let's bring it up, though.
I'm sorry. I don't know where you're going with this. Okay.
Karaoke. Karaoke Revolution.
Oh, was that contemporary?
Yes. It was around 2004, 2005, 2006. I ended up buying a bunch of the back catalog after, I think like 3 came out, and then they started doing like there was an American Idol version.
Okay.
Actually, a couple of those.
That makes sense, but... Since we're going into the Revolution games, that actually works. That actually works pretty well, because before America jumped on this craze, it had already been going strong in Japan with Konami,
yes.
Who'd done, of course, Dance Dance Revolution,
right?
And the first of the Beatmania series, Beatmania, which was kind of a simple, like I believe it was 3 button plus scratch was the controls, kind of like a turntable type game, which got, of course, borrowed later on by DJ Hero.
Yep.
Now I think that's weird, because I actually heard someone, without sarcasm, say when seeing Guitar Freaks, which is the title I'm gonna talk about. Seeing Guitar Freaks went, it's like some Japanese ripoff of Guitar Hero. No, that's the original. And what's interesting is you usually think of music games in Japan being overly complicated and really, really difficult. But actually, it's only a 3-button system, Guitar Freaks, right?
Yep. And also was arcade first, I believe. And also the controller was very heavy for no reason that I can discern.
Yep. So you don't steal it.
But also different from how Samba does it with like the thing coming out of the center, well, I guess it's not too different from how Rock Band ended up doing it, but it was just those 3 paths for notes coming out from the bottom, just like for Dance Dance Revolution, basically. But it was like this thin little line, so like the precision hits were really, really precise.
Yeah. And oh man, I have seen people who play these games and practice these games. They can do them literally with their eyes closed.
Right.
Just
not me though.
I sometimes I just like to go to Japanese arcades and just watch people do these games. Taiko no Tatsujin's another one. We'll get to that in a bit.
Sure.
Guitar Freaks predates Rock Band by, I don't know, quite a bit, I believe.
And yet, I didn't play it until I was in Japan in 2006, so...
That was your first time playing it?
Yeah, it was my first time playing it.
Really? You did pretty good. There is a video. There's video evidence.
There is video. I did okay at first, but it's a very different experience than playing Rock Band.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, just apart from where this whole trend ends up going, I was a little frustrated by how the popular culture glommed onto it and then later turned against it, because having had the background in like frequency and amplitude, I just thought, oh, this is just a nice way to have like a standard issue controller for this game. Because again, you can use like the D-pad and the A B X Y buttons on a Dreamcast to do all six positions for Samba de Amigo. And then for frequency and amplitude, there were a couple of different ways you could control those three spots. It's kind of like Guitar Freaks. Just had three tracks on it to play the game, and then having like a guitar, five buttons notwithstanding, was a lot more intuitive. So I figured, hey, this is just a really clever way to do this, the same kind of thing, but people didn't have the experience with that, with those older versions, iterations of this idea. And I found that frustrating when it's like, we're not really playing guitar. And I'm thinking to myself, who thinks you're really playing guitar? Everyone else, apparently.
Yeah. I always saw that as a criticism or whatever. Why are you wasting your time? You could be learning the real guitar. And I was just like, why don't they say that for anything else? Like, why are you wasting your time playing Call of Duty when you could just join the military? You know, what about now? And they pretty much burned themselves out about, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. So there was Guitar Hero and Guitar Hero 2, which allowed... was that when they first allowed co-op? I think so, because before it was just battles. And then I don't know... I should really find out what happened exactly, why Harmonix split. But then they went to EA and they made Rock Band.
I guess Red Octave was the one who made the controller.
Yes.
And Harmonix was the one who made the game.
Yes. So like Activision ran with the license.
Controller company or something.
Yeah. So they made Rock Band 3 without Harmonix, although I think some of the game was done already. I'm not exactly sure, but... But it's weird, right? Like I think part of the schism was that they wanted to do a full band, and that was a no-go, and then it ended up being really popular, and then Guitar Hero 4 comes along trying to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But you know, so for those who somehow don't know, maybe you younger kids, two guitars, or like a guitar and a bass, more like, singing, which incorporated the whole karaoke revolution aspect of it, with a very similar interface for how to read the notes on the screen, and then drums. And the drums were actually my favorite part.
Drum Mania.
Right, there you go. So yeah, like this Japanese rhythm game stuff gets westernized, and with lots of popular, like there are already like a lot of popular American bands in Guitar Hero, but this kind of spread out so that things weren't always like guitar shredding centric, and it was just general music stuff. And like from my frequency roots, I was used to a lot of original music, or, you know, lesser known artists plus Freeze Pop. I guess there are lesser known artists too, but they were the tops in my book. I guess Amplitude also had Garbage. I mean, the band, not just like terrible music.
Oh, okay.
Right. Like Cherry Lips, I believe was on the new album at the time, and that was on Amplitude. But you know, instead of having like covers of popular music, like in the Guitar Hero games, you actually got bands to license their actual music and then offer up the multi-layered track information they would need to make it possible. Because you know, you play this game and you miss a track, then that part of the music drops out.
Yeah.
Also very much like frequency. Ah, anyway, but, yeah, they,
are you having a stroke?
I have so many feelings about this whole thing and how it happened and where it went. And like Rock Band 3 tried like introduce keyboards and tried really hard to there was pro controller, pro drums, pro this, and then they wanted to, you know, because there were competitors out there that were being like, you know, taking that criticism about like really learn how to play the guitar seriously. And then they had this special Rock Band guitar that you can only buy through them, and there's only way to make it work with Rock Band 3, and it was really expensive. And there's other ways, there's other systems let you like plug in something into an existing guitar and work that way. So
and then there were all the Me Too's as well. There was Konami tried to get back into the market they came up with,
right? And they didn't
by releasing
succeed.
Rock Revolution.
Oh God,
nobody cared.
Yeah, it was like $5. The last I saw it on the shelves, it did so badly.
And then what was it called Guitar Smith or something? Was actually like trying to answer that criticism of why don't you learn to play the guitar for real? And it had a very expensive controller that was purported to teach you how to play guitar for real. Yeah. They made a game that used Christian contemporary music called, I think it was called like Praise Hero or something. I don't remember, but like Newsboys and stuff like that. Like, you know, kind of the more rocky Christian rock. I wonder if the Amari Tones were on there. Anyway, but you know, they had all these, and that's the thing though. Each of them was proprietary though. So if you wanted to play different ones, you couldn't just use a standard one controller. You had to get the controller that came with this game, and you got kind of locked into a system, and it was just, and even within a series some controllers wouldn't work from game to game. But
now like Guitar Hero and Rock Band generally worked okay with each other.
Oh, did they?
I still bought Guitar Hero 3 when Rock Band came out, and I was able to use, because they were both on 360, I was able to use the controller. It's actually a lot better quality than the first set of Rock Band controllers that came out.
Okay, well that's
but that,
a little
that,
better.
But that's about where it stops. Oh, I guess the microphones too, because they're just simple USB microphones.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I could use my PS2.
Am I right in thinking that we used Rock Band microphones to record the commentary track?
No, that was SingStar. And the reason was is because they were like the game was like on the clearance or whatever. It was this game and like two microphones, and it had like a stereo splitter. So each microphone, there were two microphones, and each one was on like a left or the right channel. And so I used that to record not only our commentary, so I can keep those channels separate without having, you know, a mixer to use, but also to record my first ever podcast at Powlett with the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan presentation that we ended up doing back in 2008. So,
okay.
Yeah. Cool. The more you know.
a little bit of history there. Anyway.
But, you know, this stuff reached critical mass around, 5 years ago, 2011 sounds right. I remember going to either PAX in 2010 or a BotCon in 2011, but they were trying to sell me on, you know, one of those Guitar Hero knockoffs, and I'm just like, not interested.
Yep.
It was only about a year or so ago that they stopped making new songs for Rock Band 3 on downloadable services.
Now, there's the revival is happening, has already happened.
Might be over already. I'm not sure.
Might be over already. Did it take off?
I have no idea, because
a couple podcasts ago that you were feeling the itch again.
Well, I mean, I just happened to see, because I knew Rock Band 4 was coming.
Yeah.
And I just happened to see a set on shelves, and I was looking for the Lego Dimensions stuff. And at the same time, there was Guitar Hero Live. So, you know, Activision's back at it again. It's like, you know, they probably can't allow their competitor to go on the market without trying to answer it somehow. And there was a price war going on, like for a full Rock Band 4 set of like one guitar in the game, you could get like a dual guitar set for Guitar Hero Live for the same, you know, the same spate of consoles, basically just Xbox One or PS4. No Wii U that I saw.
No, although one of those games came out on the Wii U, I think.
Oh, did it? I have no idea.
Whichever.
But it was interesting, right? Because I know that the way that the Guitar Hero Live thing was supposed to go was that they would like use music videos as backgrounds instead of like painstakingly yep. program 3D avatars as you did with the original yep. Guitar Hero, or I guess Rock Band also. But there was some feature about you're supposed to have like a real live audience watching you, and I never understood how that was supposed to work and didn't think it was real.
Nope. Probably didn't work very well.
Right.
Since we are not really, you're the target audience of these games, and you don't know. So I mean,
there was no advertising. You know, it wasn't front and center on Best Buy like it was a decade before.
Yeah,
it's like they weren't trying too hard. I'm not really sure where it came from.
Well, they've got a history of reviving franchises to not try very hard. Tony Hawk's another good example. Yes, there was a new Tony Hawk game.
Jeez. Well, you know, I think what probably kept me from doing it, aside from being married with kids, opposed to 10 years ago, and I bought a bass guitar to meet people. the price, like I didn't go with an Xbox One this generation. And there is a dongle that's for both families of systems that's supposed to let you use your like 360 or your PS3 yep. Instruments in the next generation of consoles, but only within that family. So I have a PS4, no PS3 instruments. I already bought a whole new set of instruments for Rock Band 2.
Yep.
And they're basically going unused now, and I can't justify even like, I guess, $130, especially because I was trying to buy Lego Dimensions at the exact same time, and that was already kind of outside of my budget at the moment. I just couldn't justify trying to get into this again and buying all these new plastic instruments. I to say nothing of, I missed the window on exporting my music from the disc. Nah. Most of the music anyway. And again, that's only within the console family, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. I thought about getting an Xbox One just to play this stuff, just to keep that investment fresh, but I decided against it because I'm trying to be a responsible adult.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm like, okay, say you invest in all this. How often are you actually going to get some people together to play that?
Never.
I'd say when your kids grow up, but then they're going to look at this as an archaic, expression. They're like, you have to use your hands?
That's like a baby's toy. Good Lord.
I'm sorry. Had to get that in there.
I appreciate it.
But what do you think? I'll give you my opinion afterwards, but what do you think the most important or the most resilient or the most popular of these all these games is? Or
the most popular?
Sure, let's go with most popular.
I guess I would have to say Rock Band, because I know Guitar Hero tried. They had the Guitar Hero. Was there a Guitar Hero 4 or just World's Tour? I don't even remember anymore. Like, there was a Guitar Hero 5, I think. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But yeah, they tried, but there were a lot of missteps, I feel like. I think that Rock Band outpaced them at every turn.
And I think that might be it. I don't really know what the worldwide impact of Rock Band was. I'm sure it was very popular in the UK and everything. I don't know worldwide, but I would say that probably I'd put my money on Taiko no Tatsujin.
What?
The Taiko playing game. You must have played it when you were in Japan.
I actually never, ever played it.
Really big Taiko drums?
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware.
I did a report on this. A small column on this in Retro Magazine a few issues back. But like Konami's various Bimani's games have pretty much fizzled out. I'd say now Dance Dance Revolution might be more popular in the United States than it is in Japan.
Oh, no.
I have not seen a upright Dance Dance Revolution machine in probably 5 years.
Sure.
And even then,
I haven't seen an arcade in 5 years.
Well, there's plenty of arcades here, but there's still some games. One of the games uses like a, it's very interesting. It's kind of like a touch screen based music game. I'll try to take a video of that sometime. I think it's kind of interesting.
Okay.
But the Bimani, you know, still has a very strong, dedicated, hardcore following, obviously. But beyond that, the mainstream appeal is almost nothing. Whereas these games, the Taiko no Tatsujin series, I think started in about 2001, 2002, and it's still going.
Interesting.
And it's still popular, and you can find it in pretty much any arcade. It's because it gets constant refreshes with new songs, things like that. It's still getting home versions. They started on the PlayStation 2. I think they released one game in America like 10 years ago with controllers, but it never took off, so they stopped. But, you know, they're still making them for Vita, Nintendo DS, and Wii U.
Wow, Wii U.
Yeah, Wii U. Maybe the only third-party support still left.
Wow.
Games.
So makes sense.
Namco.
Okay.
And I think it's...
Poor
it's,
Konami.
I don't know. I don't really follow pachinko companies, so...
Wow.
I don't know much about Konami. But anyway, it's had the resilience, you know?
Sure.
It's possibly more popular now than it was when it came out, and it's always been kind of popular. Rock Band definitely was more popular in its heyday, but it fizzled out really fast.
Comparatively, yeah.
You know, and Guitar Hero as well. Because Guitar Freaks, as I said, was the basis, but they don't make Guitar Freaks anymore. That's been done for a long time. They don't really even make Dance Dance Revolution anymore.
Sadly.
I'd say this one is the game that is probably most played, and it's kind of weird. It's a taiko drum, you know. So it's played with two sticks, and basically your position is hitting the drum in the front and hitting the drum in the side and hitting it fast or slow, you know.
Huh.
The mechanics are easy enough, but it goes so fast, so amazingly fast. I like to just watch people play this in the arcade because it is amazing. People are just working up a huge sweat. And some of the arcades in the summer, they put up fans up aimed at the players because they'll get so into it because they're, you know, they're these drums are like, maybe if you've never seen the machine, I really should link some photos or something or some gameplay videos of this going on.
Sure.
But like these are full size giant drums. You know, they're like 4 feet tall. People are just wailing on them with these sticks, and it's pretty amazing to see. And if you come to Japan right now, any arcade, like even small ones, any arcade or like bowling alley or any place that electronic game machines might be found, you'll see a Taiko no Tatsujin machine and a line of people playing it.
Hmm.
Such a popular game.
You know, it's really too bad because I'm reminded now of this criticism that we don't talk about enough Famicom stuff on the Famicom Dojo, that we can't relate this to some kind of retro gaming, but I guess that music games are just too new.
You're new here, aren't you?
What?
Is 1987 too new for you?
How
old are you?
Some of our listeners weren't born then, right? I mean, probably.
Yeah, true. That's mean, but they go earlier, obviously, than that.
Let's see.
Now, game is maybe not the right word for it. But back in 1987, the Famicom Disk System, which tells you how old it is, there was a piano peripheral and game released by Konami. See, it all comes back.
Oh!
It all comes back to Konami. It wasn't a game so much as it was a way of doing a digital piano that played through the FM sound that was enhanced with the Famicom Disk System to play through your TV. along with sounds and being able to switch things. I don't know. It had about the same instrument set as like an old Casio keyboard. You know the ones I'm talking about that you had as a kid. And I think it sounds really, really cool. We'll link a video.
Okay.
We'll link a video because I think it's worth seeing. But it allowed you to maybe not, it wasn't gamified so much, but it allowed a backup band on the screen and you could play your piano along with them. Much in the same way Rock Band will copy how many years later? A lot of years later.
Almost 20.
20, yeah. And of course, this technology wasn't only, at least in Japan, there was actually a very expensive game released by, I believe the company that released it was Software Toolworks. I could be wrong, but it was called the Miracle Piano Teaching System.
I think I have heard of this, actually.
So I really wanted one of these as a kid, but there were two big drawbacks. The first is that I never actually saw it in a store ever, so I couldn't. I had no physical product to beg my parents for. And second, it was incredibly expensive. I don't remember now how expensive it was. I'd have to look it up. But I'd say when I was a kid, in like kid money, it was $100 billion. So there was no way I was going to be able to afford it on my own because it was basically a full-sized, nice keyboard with a stand and everything that hooked up to your Nintendo. And later they released a version for the Super Nintendo as well. That was kind of gamifying the learning of piano in much the same way as like, did you ever play a game as a kid to teach touch typing?
Maybe something for elementary school, but never at home.
Oh, really? My parents bought me one called Master Type. It was interesting. It was, an Apple II program, and they had like the original game and then like an enhanced version, on the other side of the disc, depending on how much RAM your computer had. It was very interesting.
But, interesting.
There was like aliens invading from different sides and you like were a wizard who could like blast them with space magic. Oh my gosh, what was even going on there? And there was one at my school called Pause, which was some on the Apple IIgs. I don't know. It talked, and you had to guide this cat around. His name was Pause. I don't know. And there was another one for the Commodore 64 called Kids on Keys. I really liked that one. Just like letters were falling, and you had to like shoot them before they hit the ground. I guess. Gosh, if anybody knows of any of these games, just tell me in the comments so I know that I'm not just making them up.
Oh God.
But you know, it was like that. It was gamifying learning a skill, and I don't know if it worked or not. But man, it looked fun, and of course you could use the keyboard without the Nintendo. It was it was a piano. You know, it was a.
Sure.
It was a keyboard system that could be used by itself, which was probably why it was so expensive.
Right.
I want the Famicom one so bad now. I really, really do. I was looking on some auction sites, and it's going for like $400.
Oh, is that all? No big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Who needs a PlayStation 4? Yes, we were born to play on this retro game. Let's act on killing a Famicom console again. Thank you for this video game.
Hey, what's your favorite movie? This week, it's my favorite, too, even if it's Roadhouse.
Roadhouse is the story of a big city bouncer with the secret power to rip people's throats out who comes to a small town full of really dumb people to be a bouncer there.
This is 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie.
Listen to 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network. Well, all this talk of how things used to be kind of it's making me nostalgic for a game that also has a resurgence just recently. So I kind of want to move on to future retro.
Okay, let's do Future Retro.
Okay.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not. So, I got a little surprise between Christmas and New Year's. I got an email with a code, a bunch of codes actually, letting me know that my Kickstarter backer for Amplitude was out.
Hey!
I was not expecting that. So it's basically
no
Amplitude.
No one ever expects Kickstarter, you know what I mean?
Right? It's like, I wasn't even thinking
it's
about
something it. We're like, oh yeah, I pledged for that. Oh, it's done? Oh, nice. You know, yeah.
Well, it's funny, right? Because, you know, the whole Rock Band 4 thing was happening, and Harmonix is working on that, obviously, as their main thing. And, you know, Guitar Hero Live. So it didn't even occur to me that that would be out. But I was thinking, it's like, hey, I wonder where that's going. It probably got put in the back burner because of all the other projects. But nope. It was ready to go. And for a while there, it was just backers only. And you got a fun little icon to go next to your name in the high score lists to show that, yes, I am a backer and not as good as everyone else who got joined later when they finally made it public for everyone.
Listen.
That's okay.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah. Well, excuse me. I should back up for a second and mention that among other things, this was one of the reasons I got a PS4 over an Xbox One. Because the Frequency Amplitude series is Sony owned, so it can't be on another console. So when they decided to make this again, they had to stay with the Sony license. So it got released for PS3 and PS4. So you could get a copy now if you wanted to.
Yeah,
it is download only, at least the normal release version. I don't know, they might have made a disc if you pledged enough, but I gave them $70 and got pretty much nothing for it except for the game. So.
No, I don't think so, because I think like that Castlevania-esque one, like what's it called? Blood pudding or
blood? Yeah,
it's definitely
something involving blood.
Not called that. It's blood-stained. Blood-stained ritual of the night.
Okay.
Would I have pledged up to the Wii U physical game tier on that one? So,
wow,
you know that might be the last Wii U game.
Lord.
I wonder if they're going to bump that one to NX. I wonder if they're allowed to, like Kickstarter rules or whatever. I don't know.
That's because it's not the same system.
Yeah, it's not the same. I wonder. Sure. Anyway, that'll be interesting to see.
Right.
But I think that was the first one that had a physical disc because it was a big deal at the time. And then Shenmue got one too, but I can't think of any others that had a physical disc as one of the options.
Yeah, how's Shenmue going?
did you pledge for that one?
Yes, but not very much. Like as little as I can get away with because it was also at kind of a bad time. But
yeah.
I know that you know, we mentioned last episode that Space Venture got pushed back. Or was it during our Denshi Mail? I can't remember. I know that they announced that Mighty No. 9 I was going to get pushed back to.
Yeah.
So, but Amplitude. They fixed things. Like they really thought about what they did between Frequency and the first Amplitude, and they fixed things. The thing that really bugged me was I liked a lot of what Frequency did. To compare it to Guitar Freaks, there were only like three notes, as it were, three positions on any particular track. And the point of Frequency was to clear a track. So you get like a sequence of two measures, essentially, without making a mistake. And that clears it for a specific length of time. And you go on to the next one and you're supposed to do this seamlessly. So, you know, the higher the difficulty, the more track switching you have to do, as well as keeping things going using your power-ups and the longer you keep your multiplier up, the higher your score is. And if you make mistakes, then you can really bomb out a score that you were doing really good on if you don't keep it going the whole time. So there's a lot of strategy involved in those power-ups and whatnot. So Amplitude comes along. Instead of making it like this big hexagonal tube that you play through and you can see all the notes at all times, it was more of a flat plane. And it also like curves in 3D space, so you can't always see over the next hill. And it's like, what are they even doing at this point? It was very, very frustrating. So to get like from one end of the track to the other, you had to go across six tracks to get there if that was like the only track that was available to you to play. Same idea, you know, you're clearing off stuff to unlock the whole song. And I didn't feel like the music list was as good. I did get really excited, and I bought some magazine, whatever they added whenever they had the Amplitude demo disc in. I was very excited about this sequel, but it just didn't hit for me as well as the first game did. So, you know, the whole Guitar Hero Rock Band thing happened, and I forgave Harmonix for this oversight. But thinking I wouldn't see the likes of those games again, I pledged for Amplitude, and they fixed things, like I was saying. So what they ended up doing was they made it easier to navigate. So if there is a track you're supposed to get, so if you miss a track, basically, if there's like a note that you could have played on another track and you don't, the other two games will penalize you for it. You know, you have a miss and you lose your multiplier. The new Amplitude, if there's only one track available to you, whatever one comes up first and you try to move, it'll snap you to the next available track. So if it's two or three or four or five, however many tracks away, you don't have to push the button that many times to get there anymore. You push it once and it'll snap you right to it. And if it's the only one available to you, it'll lock you in. So it's also, especially at the higher difficulties, you can't twitch and screw up and slip off of a track unless there's another one available for you to play. That can still happen. But there's also this thing where, again, I mentioned that there's about two measures you have to do. If you ever mess up and you're like off, and so like an odd number of track, there'd be always that one measure left in the section that you can't play, and you'd be forced to miss and lose your multiplier because you can't do a sequence of two of them. And that was a problem between Frequency and Amplitude. They fixed that too. So as long as you're able to play, you can keep going through. Or if it's like the last measure available to you, you can start up and get your multiplier built up again. So that was a big change. And then the third annoying thing that they also fixed was that if you just missed a power up, like you just completed the track and there's like the next measure over, there's a power up, and you finish the measure beforehand, it actually gives you that power up.
So power ups continue on from track to track?
Yeah. So you can only hold one at a time. The basic ones for a single player game are an additional multiplier. So if you're at times four, you max out at normally. It doubles your score, so you can go up to times eight for that.
Okay.
There's I forget the exact names for them, but there's one that clears the track for you. So really helpful if there's like a miss and you don't want to lose your multiplier, so you can deploy that real quick, switch to the next track, and then keep going as if nothing happened.
Okay.
There's one called Flow, which I don't know if they called it that in previous versions of the game, but it's kind of like a freestyle scratch track, but it'll actually like wipe out all the tracks available to you, and then you can just do your freestyle, and then it'll sit you back down, and then you can keep going like normal. So that's also a way to, if you mess up, you can kind of keep going without losing your multiplier. There's one that slows everything down, which can be dangerous because, especially if you're doing like a really twitchy track, you get slow. That's good for a while, but then you got to speed back up and not miss a beat, and that can be really bad. Potentially. I'm trying to think of a missed one. I think there's another power up out there, but then there are more for multiplayer, which I was never really keen on. That I don't think Frequency had. I think it was just an Amplitude that they had that before. So there's ways to like bump an opponent to get in front of them, so you get all the points and they don't, kind of thing. And but just those minor improvements made the gaming experience a lot more enjoyable, even though this soundtrack is like 99% like Harmonix tracks, like original Harmonix tracks, or like some other small artists. There's one Freeze Pop track I'm aware of, but it's still really good stuff. Like Perfect Brain is the opening track to this game, and I can't get it out of my head. Like just talking about the game, and think about it right away because it's like, the theme song for the game, basically. The whole thing they've made into this less abstract deal, and you're like a nano machine trying to fix someone's brain. And the last few tracks of the game, you're like in this synesthetic state. And synesthesia, for those who are not aware, is where you're like your senses kind of bleed over, so like you hear music and you see color kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can't help it. So it got kind of annoying actually at the end, because it was like constantly like flexing the colors around and you really couldn't see what you were doing.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this game a lot overall, and have been having some friendly competition with people who consider themselves much better frequency masters than myself. People who may or may not have lived with me at the time when I first played this game. Phil, I'm sure that Ben is so much better at it than I am. But it's kind of hard to play on a PS4 controller, because the R2 trigger is analog. It's not just, you know, so you tap it at any depth and it works, but like it just so much give to it that I can't, it's a little off, but I've been able to play it in mode.
You'd prefer a digital on that one.
I would if there was an option, but that's because of the particular control scheme that I like, where it's like, what is it? I think, square R1, R2.
Oh, okay.
And then X to deploy the power ups. There's a bunch of different configurations, but that's my favorite. So yeah, good times. I guess there's gonna be some DLC later, and they gave me money to put in my PSN account. But then my recurring billing for PlayStation Plus has taken it.
Oh man.
Anywho.
That happens.
I talked a lot.
That's okay. I nodded my head to most of it. Played a little Game Boy. Well, I waited for you to finish. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
You know, my original pile of shame, and I'll save it for another time now. I was going to be exactly about that whole PSN thing, because that's my pile of shame, because that's what's building up right now.
Sure.
But I'm gonna save that, because I've got one that's on topic today.
Oh,
for my pile of shame.
Okay.
And I hate to say it, but my pile of shame is Donkey Konga.
Shame. Yeah, I forgot to mention Donkey Konga. It's on mine too. Why don't you go first?
Everybody forgot about Donkey Konga.
Oh man.
When this came out, I was really excited for it, because it uses a very similar system to Taiko no Tatsujin.
They're
both made by Namco. And there's a lot of songs that are actually shared between the two.
Sure.
Now, did you buy Donkey Konga?
I did. I bought a Japanese version, actually.
Oh, did you?
Because it was very inexpensive, and I was able to get a couple... Yes. Like it was like a two pack for two Donkey Konga games, and I got one Konga set, and I was able to buy another one in the States. So I have a set of two.
First two games, right?
Yeah.
Those games are really cheap. The third one's a little expensive because it wasn't in that pack.
There was a third one?
Yeah, there was a third one. I could get it for you if you need it. It's got some really good tracks on it. But basically, there were four games that were compatible with it: the three Donkey Konga games and like Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
Yep.
Which a lot of people tells me is a fantastic game.
Oh.
Even though it is a you know, bongo controlled platformer.
I forgot about Jungle Beat.
Everybody did, which is unfortunate. Well, except for there are some people who contend that it's one of the best Donkey Kong games. Period. I haven't played it enough to have come to. Although I was disappointed when originally the Bongo Blast, which is the Donkey Kong flying game.
I have no idea.
It was supposed to be one of the very last GameCube games, and it was supposed to be controllable with the Bongo controllers. It got moved like Super Paper Mario. It got moved to be a Wii title, an early Wii title, but they didn't, even though the Wii supported GameCube controllers, they took off the bongo functionality and replaced it with waggle, you know, shaking the nunchuck, shaking the controller. And it sold tens and tens of copies. It was just the game could have been fun with the bongo controls, but once you remove that, it just was a bad control scheme. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, if you're playing with bongo controllers, you know, like, Dance Dance Revolution is easier to play on the gamepad than it is to dance, but it's not as fun.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It was just like that. It was like, okay, you take a game that's, you know, a bit hard to control because you're playing with bongos, and that's the point, and you play it with a standard controller in a weird way. It's just dumb. So,
right.
But anyway, I've mentioned in the podcast that, like, my first date with my wife ended with Donkey Konga. Wow, that's a bad quote.
And she still married you.
My first date with my future wife ended in a game of Donkey Konga. But I don't know. I just got in the game then. And, you know, music games in general are pretty popular in Japan. And I thought it was, you know, it's kind of a fun little party game. I thought might be fun. And she pretended to enjoy it. Yeah, she must really have liked me.
So, I mean, what you're telling me is now that I made a mistake buying the base and just should have gone for the congas.
Yeah, you would. That's how you get the girl. But the thing about that is, that's the last time I played it. Like, that first date was the last time. So, you know, that was like a decade ago, and I boxed it all up, and it's on my shelf right now, and I haven't played it since, and I'm not entirely sure why, but I never really got, I've only really played the game a few times to take it out to just kind of play with it. I've never gotten good at it like I did with Samba.
Right.
I think I should give it another shot sometime. But that's another music game that was, you know, tried to make a dent into the market. I don't know how successful it was in the United States. It was successful enough in Japan that it got a third game. So I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, I don't even know if the second one came out in America or not. Like, that's how little.
I think you got two. I'm not sure. I know you got Jungle Beat.
Yeah, I got Jungle Beat for sure. I don't know if I have Jungle Beat or if I have it for... I don't even know. Like, that's how shameful my pile of this is that I've... You know, that and the Mini Money game, I've, like, had boxed up to think about selling both of them.
Well, like, the Mini Money game, that's shameful in a lot of ways. And, yeah. But the Donkey Konga one is, you know, that you might want to give that one a try again.
Okay.
Oh, man. It's kind of a missed opportunity, because if that had kept going now, I would love to play that one online.
Sure.
With, like, that'd be fun. Okay, we've got to find a way to get the GameCube to go online.
Like, oh dear.
Or find a USB adapter so it can we can use it to play other games. Anyway. So that's my pile of shame, and who knows, if I get back into it, maybe a potential future retro someday.
Ooh.
But that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with it. It was a good choice of songs. The gameplay was interesting. Bongo and clapping. I don't know why I stopped. Maybe because I had started dating at that point and priorities shifted.
Wasn't but good you know enough for a second date.
I bet that is a game that my kids would be able to play, though. It's easy enough.
Sure.
I might check that one out, see if they like it.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Denchimail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
Man, I need to, like, start playing some more games, because otherwise we're going to have the same piles of shame to cycle through, and I'm not going to have anything new to talk about. So I'm going to have to, like, do some serious me time pretty soon, get through some stuff.
My plan is that I will just continue buying games that I never play, so I'll always have something for Pile of Shame.
Nice.
I bought 4 games today.
Wow.
I bought Short Piece. I bought Tales of Graces F. I bought Tales of Symphonia Collection. And I bought a Katamari game for my Vita. All of them were really, really cheap.
Oh, jeez, it's like the one I don't have.
The most expensive game I bought today was $6. But that's the problem. That's the problem. Right. Buying games are easy.
That's how they get you.
Let's see. How long is it going to take me to download this game? Or how long is it going to take me to purchase this game? About a minute. How long is it going to take me to beat it? About 45 hours. How long is that in Kevin's available gaming time? About 7 years, you know?
Right. I feel like I should ride this zombie wave and like keep going and finish The Walking Dead and maybe even Ooh. Zombie U.
I ordered Last of Us. Is that a zombie game?
Spoilers.
I'm ish.
Maybe. I don't know what to tell you. I want to say yes. But no, that's all I really want to say.
Okay. Yes, but no. Okay. Yeah. Oh, Zombie U. As soon as I get HD television in my room, I'm gonna be able to play some of these scarier Wii games.
Right. Well. Okay. All right. We obviously have a lot of gaming work to do.
Yes, we do.
Plus some Kickstarter work. So I know we're getting closer every week, getting closer. But when we know when it's ready, you will know when it's ready.
Nice.
Promise. So, all right. I think that's all the time we have this week then, so that we can do all this gaming. So until next time, the dojo is.
The dojo is. Oh man, I wasn't ready. Oh. Oh, hold on.
Nothing the zombies get you.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Right. Start it again.
All right. Until next time, the dojo is
a bongo-based Japanese RPG.
I like it.
You know, I think when we finally do make that. Make the Famicom Dojo the video game. Is that hosted now? Are we hosting that?
Should be.
By the time you hear this, it's definitely being hosted. We're gonna find a way. Maybe through the USB GameCube controller adapter. I think part of it should be playable via the Bongo controllers.
Oh God.
There you go.
Well,
because the type of people who play it, it's just not obscure enough.
Right. I promise nothing, by the way.
No, I promise everything.
<Damn you>.
See you guys.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.